to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I've got to get into a very complex. Let's get the word right. That shows you how complex this show is going to be. A very complex topic, and it has to do with evictions. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that the last thing that any real estate investor wants to do is to evict a resident. That's not why we're in the business of providing quality workforce housing. We don't want to displace somebody from a home that we have helped them to acquire. It doesn't work well with our business model. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we strive to do is we strive to screen through the biggest assortment of potentially qualified individuals to select the best one for our properties. It's right in line with our concept of best product at the best price for the best people. But evictions, unfortunately, are one of these things that has to be in our toolkit as real estate investors, because there is that occasional time when you have to help somebody understand that they need to remove themselves from the premises because they have violated the terms and conditions of the lease that they signed. Now, government. Yeah, government. Government has a way of trying to do things with all the best intentions in mind, but because they're so fast to act without thinking through all the second, third, and fourth order consequences of the decision, they always tend to leave other people in a lurch. And on today's show, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about evictions. And the reason I bring this up is because ever since this whole coronavirus thing started, government has been interceding to assist whomever they think is the right target audience to help them from being evicted from their properties. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that when this whole coronavirus thing started, the first thing that I did was I coordinated directly with my residents and my rental properties. And what I wanted to find out was, how is coronavirus affecting you? Are there things that we need to do to help accommodate you so that you can continue to live in your home? I mean, that is the responsible thing that we as Lifestyles Unlimited members do with our residents. And I received good feedback from my residents. I mean, for the most part, about a third of my residents had issues that stemmed from coronavirus. And the ones that were affected specifically because of job loss. Now, in those cases, those renters went out and found substitute work. In one case, I mean, I gotta just tell you about the efforts of one of my residents. This guy, he's in the Gets It Club. He really is. He was laid off. I mean, when this whole coronavirus thing hit, he was like immediately laid off and ultimately terminated. And I had contacted him and said, hey, what's going on? How are things going? Well, once he was laid off, he informed me that he was out of work. I mean, he made contact with me in response to me making contact with him. And I said, okay, what do we need to do to work with you? And he said, you know what? I may need to go onto a payment plan, but I am out there looking for work. I'm going to find a job, and hopefully this won't be an issue. And you know what he did? He went out, and he not only found one job, he found two jobs. He essentially went to work in the grocery industry, stocking shelves, not at one supermarket, but at two different supermarkets. I mean, when I remember talking to him in the past, he said he was working something like 80 hours a week. And I said, man, that's crazy hours. And he says, well, that's what I need to do to replace the income that I lost when I was let go. And I said, are you doing okay? I mean, 80 hours is a crazy work schedule. And he says, well, you know, I was working like 60, 65 hours a week in my previous employment. So really, it isn't that much more of a stretch. And he has been on time every month during this entire coronavirus endeavor. Now, that is a shining example of somebody that understands what doing the right thing is. He's somebody who understands that he has a responsibility to take care of his family, because we talked about that, and more so, to make good on his obligations. Yeah, it's a great thing. But I'll tell you what, in the last couple of days, evictions have come back on to the forefront. They have shown up. We've received guidance from, I don't know, the CDC. The CDC is telling us how to handle evictions. And a lot of people were like set back in their chairs thinking, the CDC, do they have authority to do this? And it turns out they do. I did a little checking, and I dug into some of the background on how this whole thing happened. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you some of the background, some of the historical stuff that has occurred that has kind of gotten us to this point. And then I'm going to get into what the current policy is regarding evictions and what you can and cannot do, what the roles and responsibilities are for your residents. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot to go over, so stick around. We're going to get into it right after this.
Del Wamsley talks about understanding the system.
Guy told me the other day on the radio, he says, you know, I understand the system. They let the stock market go up to feed our ego, to think we're getting somewhere, and then they crash it on us and take it all away. So now we're stuck. He says, I've lived through two of those cycles, so he started investing in real estate to get away from the cycle.
Are you ready to break the cycle? Start investing in real estate today. Find out how. Join Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So on today's show, we're talking about evictions. And what I'm going to do is do my best effort to give you the current version of the truth. I've done a lot of research. I've had a lot of correspondence with other Lifestyles Unlimited members. We've had our legal team kind of give us some guidance and feedback on what's going on. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, what we really want is a good, healthy relationship with our residents. We want to provide them quality workforce housing. And in exchange for that, we receive a monthly rent. And with that monthly rent, we pay the expenses associated with our business model. And what is left over is our profit margin, which we call cash flow. Now, that's just one of the five ways we make money in real estate. But when all of this started, way back when coronavirus kicked off, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development implemented a foreclosure and eviction moratorium on all single-family mortgages insured by the FHA. Additionally, the Federal Housing Finance Agency announced that it had instructed the Federal National Mortgage Association and the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, basically Freddie and Fannie, to suspend foreclosures for at least 60 days, which was later extended through August 31st of 2020, and obviously has since expired. Then, along the way, came the CARES Act. And the CARES Act imposed a temporary moratorium on evictions of certain renters subject to certain conditions. Now, the kicker is this: that moratorium has also expired. And to be frank with you, Congress has been silent ever since. So our president decided on August 8th to issue an executive order. I mean, you can read the executive order. He gives you a lot of justifications in the order as to why he issued the order. And of course, he blames Congress. But he made the following directives. And these things are important to understand. The first thing he did was he told the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the director of the CDC to consider whether any measures temporarily halting residential evictions of any tenants for failure to pay rent are reasonably necessary to prevent the further spread of COVID-19 from one state or possession into any other state or possession. Well, we received the response on September 1st, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit. The other three things he directed, which we haven't heard anything about yet, but you need to know that these things are potentially out there. He told the Secretary of the Treasury and the Secretary of HUD, Housing and Urban Development, to identify any and all available federal funds to provide temporary financial assistance to renters and homeowners who, as a result of the financial hardships caused by COVID-19, or who are struggling to meet their monthly rental or mortgage obligations, to have some kind of relief. We haven't heard anything about that yet. He also directed the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development to take action as appropriate and consistent with all applicable laws to promote the ability of renters and homeowners to avoid eviction or foreclosure resulting from financial hardships caused by COVID-19. Such actions may include encouraging and providing assistance to public housing authorities, affordable housing owners, landlords, and recipients of federal grant funds in minimizing evictions and foreclosures. Haven't heard anything from HUD yet. The final thing that he directed was this: to the Secretary of the Treasury and the Director of Federal Housing Finance Agency, the Director of Federal I know I'm talking government. I apologize for that. Anyhow, to those agencies, he told them to review all existing authorities and resources that may be used to prevent evictions and foreclosures for renters and homeowners resulting from hardships caused by COVID-19. Now, we haven't heard anything yet. Now, the kicker is this: on September 1st, the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, announced an order under Public Health Service Act to temporarily halt residential evictions. The goal of this order is to reduce the spread of COVID-19 that may occur when people who have been evicted move to other states or move in with family or friends or find themselves homeless and maybe have to go to some type of shelter in order to provide them some type of living accommodations. Now, that order, which was issued last Tuesday, will become effective tomorrow when it is formally published in the Federal Register. And we expect that to happen tomorrow sometime. Now, it's unprecedented times. It really is. I mean, there's a lot of discussion out there as to, you know, what's going on with it. And, you know, just to reiterate, the order begins with an extensive commentary to justify the link between evictions and the spread of COVID-19 across state lines. The link is necessary, according to all the lawyers out there, for the CDC to take such unprecedented and broad action under Section 361 of the Public Health Service Act. And many legal experts out there are saying, you know what, this link is weak. But until the issue is litigated, it is likely that courts across the country will enforce the CDC order, because after all, it is linked back to the executive order. So let's get into the things that you need to understand with regards to this order, because I'll be honest with you, it can be very confusing. You know, all of a sudden, what we knew was a pretty solid process. I mean, evictions are not something that arose overnight. They have been a consistent fixture of providing housing for people who choose to rent for a very, very long time. Okay. Now, we don't like evictions. I'll be the first one as a landlord to tell you, I don't like evictions. I don't like the process. I don't like the fact that I've owned rental property for how long now? Over 21 years. Now, I'll be the first to tell you also, I didn't always do it right in the beginning. And it took me coming to Lifestyles Unlimited to get it right. But I have had to evict tenants in the past. And the first thing that hits me square between the eyes when I have to walk down that road is that I have failed somehow. I have failed in the selection criteria of my resident. Something has gone wrong here. And even though I have tried to remedy the situation, the only remedy was to pursue eviction. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to get into the key provisions of the agency order, and we're going to talk about things that you can and cannot do regarding eviction. Back after this.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. On today's show, just to recap, I'm getting into the CDC order, the agency order that they issued on September 1st that goes into effect on September 4th. What you can do and cannot do regarding evictions. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I am not an attorney. So keep in mind, I am not offering you any legal advice, because I'm not capable of doing that. I am not licensed to do that. I don't pretend to do that. And I don't want to do that. But what I want to do for you is share information. And I think it's very important, because the government is meddling into the business of real estate investing. And, you know, it's trying to save my editorial comments and keep them to myself. Okay, so I'll just do that. I'll keep it to myself. So let's get into the key provisions of this agency order that came out. Now, the biggest takeaway is this: that order temporarily prohibits evictions. In other words, if you are a landlord or an owner of residential property or other person with a legal right to pursue eviction, you cannot evict anyone through December 31st of 2020. That's what it says. It applies to all United States states. Boy, that was a tongue twister. So bottom line is, it applies to all 50 states, and it applies to almost every territory. Apparently American Samoa is excluded because they haven't had a documented case of coronavirus there. So if you happen to be in American Samoa, this doesn't apply to you. But for the rest of us, it applies to us. It sets a floor for eviction moratorium. In other words, what it states is this: if there are state or local laws that provide the same or greater public health protection than the requirements that are listed in the order, then that state or local law applies over the order, meaning that the order doesn't apply because there's a more restrictive measure in place. So the key thing here is you need to understand what your state or your local authorities are doing on top of what is provided for in this agency order. And there is a covered period, meaning this, it specifically says this: unless the agency order is extended, rescinded, or modified, it applies from the date the agency order is published in the Federal Register, which is projected to be tomorrow, all the way until the end of 2020. Now, there are persons that cannot be evicted under this agency order, and they are called covered persons. In other words, to be a covered person that cannot be evicted, an individual must make a declaration under penalty of perjury that they meet each of the following criteria in the order. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later on in the show, so we won't do that right now. But here's the overall, well, let's just get into it now. So they basically are stating your resident has to state that they have made their best efforts to obtain assistance. In other words, the renter has made their best efforts to obtain all available governmental rental and housing payment assistance available to that individual or a member of the household. There are income limitations, meaning if the individual either expects to earn no more than, and I don't know where they came up with these numbers, but these are the numbers they came up with, no more than $99,000 per year in annual income for calendar year 2020, or no more than $198,000 if you file your taxes jointly, or was not required to report any income to the IRS in 2019, or received a CARES Act stimulus check. Those are the limitations. So those people essentially qualify. The individual has to demonstrate they're unable to pay the full rent because of a loss of income or extraordinary expenses. And they go into what that is. And one of the examples that they give is that you have potentially very high medical costs. I think the example I read said that, you know, your medical costs are more than 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. I know they're getting into tax law and stuff like that, but that would be another consideration. The resident must make all efforts to pay as much rent as circumstances permit, taking into account non-discretionary expenses. Non-discretionary expenses are basically expenses that you have to pay on a monthly basis. So going out to eat is a discretionary expense. Paying your power bill is a non-discretionary expense. And eviction of the resident would likely lead to homelessness or living in congregate or shared living spaces because the individual has no available housing options. Now, what the agency order does not cover are the following things. It does not affect the tenant's obligation to pay rent and comply with other terms of their lease. The order does not prohibit interest, penalties, or fees allowed under the rental agreement. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that if you've got a resident that's in a hard strike, just piling on the fees and penalties and stuff isn't going to make the situation any better. And a covered person may be evicted for reasons other than not paying their rent or making a housing payment. In other words, they might be doing, well, some of the following activities: threatening the health or safety of other residents. Maybe they're damaging or posing an immediate or significant risk of damage to the property. Maybe they're violating any applicable building codes, health ordinances, or similar regulation relating to health and safety, or they might be violating any other contractual obligation other than the timely payment of rent or similar housing-related payment, including non-payment or late fee payments, penalties, or interest. Yeah. So there is a provision in there that you can get the real problematic residents out. But if you're doing a really good job of screening your residents before they enter your property, chances are you're not going to be removing them for those reasons because you've done a good job of selecting your resident. Now, there are penalties. Yeah, let's be very clear. There are penalties here. The agency order states specifically that a person violating this order may be subject to a fine of no more than $100,000 if the violation does not result in a death or 1 year in jail or both, or a fine of no more than $250,000 if the violation results in a death or 1 year in jail or both. Just basically, there's a big fine there. There's also a penalty for an organization that violates the order. They may be subject to a fine of no more than $200,000 per event if the violation does not result in death, or $500,000 per event if the violation results in a death or otherwise provided by law. Yeah, it's pretty stiff stuff there. The United States Department of Justice may initiate court proceedings as appropriate, seeking imposition of these criminal penalties. And the agency order states this: the Health and Human Services is authorized to cooperate with and to aid state and local authorities in the enforcement of their quarantine and other health regulations, and to accept state and local assistance in the enforcement of federal quarantine rules and regulations, including in the enforcement of the order. And then it gets into authorities and things like that, and it talks a little bit about rental assistance. We'll get into that when we come back. But more importantly, I'm going to read to you the affidavit that your resident would have to attest to in order to qualify. We'll be back right after this.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Walmsley, on the effective way to run a business.
There are people that run their businesses on a shoestring. If you own an apartment complex and you have no cash, that's not a very effective way to run a business. My businesses, each and every one of them, have cash savings. In other words, we can make no money or make very little money. We'd still survive. For those of you that haven't thought it through that far and you don't have any cash savings, let's get you in here and get you educated on how to save what you already own. The mom and pop businesses are going to take a major hit. If you've been running your business that way, you need to get into Lifestyles right now and learn how to operate your business the right way.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
With the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to this very complex episode of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, earlier in the show, at the very beginning, I was commenting that the executive order that the president signed directed certain agencies to do certain things. And I made a statement that HUD was told to do certain things and the Treasury was told to do certain things. Well, I've got an update on that. I mean, that just goes to show you how fluid this entire thing is right now. I mean, there's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts, a lot of pieces going on here. But let me give you that update. And it has to do with rental assistance. Now, HUD made this declaration. Basically, they stated that all HUD grantees which are cities, states, communities, or nonprofits who received what are considered emergency solution grants or community development block grant funding under the CARES Act, may use those funds to provide temporary rental assistance, homelessness prevention, or other aid to individuals who are experiencing financial hardship because of the pandemic and who are at risk of being evicted, consistent with applicable laws, regulations, and appropriate guidance. The Treasury came back and basically stated this. They said that funds allocated through the Coronavirus Relief Fund may be used to fund rental assistance programs to prevent eviction. So the big takeaway from there, all that mumbo jumbo, is that there has been determined, a determination was made that certain funding that has been allocated out can be used to maybe provide some rental assistance programs, which could benefit one of your residents. That's just the way it is. Now, I said I was going to get into the affidavit because I think it's important to understand what individuals are attesting to. If you have someone that is attesting and basically saying that, you know, you shouldn't evict me because I've been affected by the coronavirus, they basically need to sign the following statement. It says, I certify under perjury or penalty of perjury pursuant to 28 U.S.C. 1746, which is the legal code, that the foregoing are true and correct. I have used best efforts to obtain all available government assistance for rent and housing. And that means any governmental rental or housing payment benefits available to the individual or household member. They also have to attest to this. I expect to earn no more than that $99,000 in annual income for calendar year 2020, or no more than $198,000 if I file my taxes jointly, and was not required to report any income in 2019 to the IRS, or received an economic impact payment, the stimulus checks, pursuant to Section 2201 of the CARES Act. They also have to attest to this. I am unable to pay my full rent or make a full housing payment due to substantial loss of household income, loss of compensation, basically, of hours of work or wages, layoffs, or extraordinary out-of-pocket medical expenses. And when they talk about extraordinary, that's where they get into that discussion of, you know, an extraordinary medical expense. Could be anything that's might be unreimbursed medical expenses likely to exceed maybe 7.5% of one's adjusted gross income for the year. They also have to attest that they are using their best efforts to make timely partial payments that are as close to the full payment as the individual circumstances may permit, taking into account other non-discretionary expenses. They have to attest to this. If evicted, I would become likely homeless, need to move into a homeless shelter, or need to move into a new residence shared by other people who live in close quarters because I have no other available housing options. And available housing means any available unoccupied residential property or other space for occupancy in any seasonal or temporary housing that would not violate federal, state, or local occupancy standards, and that would not result in an overall increase of housing costs to the individual. They have to attest to this. I understand that I must still pay rent or make a housing payment and comply with other obligations that I may have under my tenancy, lease agreement, or similar contract. I further understand that fees, penalties, or interest for not paying rent or making a housing payment on time, as required by my tenancy, lease agreement, or similar contract, may still be charged or collected. And they have to make this final attestment. I further understand that at the end of this temporary halt on evictions on December 31st, 2020, my housing provider may require payment in full for all payments not made prior to or during the temporary halt, and failure to pay may make me subject to eviction pursuant to state and local laws. And then the final statement they make is this, and before they sign, they say, I understand that any false or misleading statements or omissions may result in criminal and civil actions for fines, penalties, damages, or imprisonment. Yeah. So there it is. That is kind of a roll up of the whole thing that's going on out there. I think that, you know, there's some key takeaways for you out there. Number one, if you don't understand what's going on with this process, seek competent legal advice. That's the best advice I have for you. If you're a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, you can go to our vendor site and you can find competent real estate attorneys that are there that are members of our vendor program that can advise you on these actions. And more importantly, you know, when I read through all of this stuff, it really just took me back to my original premise, which is this. If you're providing quality workforce housing and you're providing it to the right people, you're finding the best people for your properties, you've already started down the road to figuring out what is impacting your residents. You have, because we're not slumlords. We don't do that. We don't want to evict people. I mean, evictions, first of all, can be timely. In other words, it takes some time to get them done. They're faster in some places. They're a lot slower in other places, depending on where you own your property. The other thing is there's an expense associated with that. And it's an expense that you'll have to absorb. And when we are looking for the right residents for our properties, we're doing a very thorough screening of those individuals. We're doing background checks. We're doing credit checks. We're doing all the things that we have been educated to do by Lifestyles Unlimited and also advised by our mentors and also advised by our legal representatives to ensure that we're finding the best people for our properties. And when this whole thing started out, and if you own residential property out there and you're renting it out, when this whole thing started, if you were not in communication with your resident, I'd say you missed the mark. Yeah, you kind of missed the mark. And I think that's part of the reason all this stuff is coming out of the woodwork, is because there are individuals out there that will do the wrong thing. That's just the way it is. We are human beings. We are not perfect. We are flawed. And there are people that will do the wrong things, and they will do the wrong things for a lot of the wrong reasons. So if you're already doing the right thing by your residents, you really don't have to worry too much about this whole eviction thing. If you have somebody who's in trouble, who you are working with, you know, one of the things you do have to take into consideration is what happens on the back end. Because what I haven't seen come out of the government is relief for us as owners of rental property. You know, I guess we could contact our mortgage providers if we have mortgages on the property, and we could discuss, you know, the options of maybe forbearance, or we could discuss the options of deferring payments or other programs that might be out there. But at the end of the day, we're going to get through this together. We really are. And, you know, even though the government is stepping in, and we've got, you know, there's a ton of stories out there I've been reading about, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly regarding this evictions process. If you're focused on doing the right thing, if you have a solid education on how to invest in real estate, if you are advised by a competent mentor, if you've built the right team of people around you, and you are focused on your goals and your objectives, then you already know the answers to all this stuff. And I'll tell you what, for those of you out there that are thinking about becoming real estate investors, what I want you to do is this. go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. Get yourself enrolled for one of our free workshops so that you can find out what real estate investing can do for you. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.